2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. We're going to hit on that a lot tonight.
Amen.
And here's the title of the message. Are you a great man with your master?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a great man with your master?
Yes.
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. How much honor do you have? Are you honorable with your master? Are you honorable with the people that you live around every day? Are you honorable with your wife? You want to find out about yourself, you ask your wife. You want to find out about you, wife, ask your husband. Parents, you want to find out about you, you ask your kids. Because they're with you every day. Naaman was with the king of Syria every day. Every day. He saw him every day. He knew how he acted, how he think. He knew his values. He knew him. He was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance in Assyria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the other text verse, and we're going to read all six again quickly in a bit. Verse 3, the other text verse, and she said unto her mistress, this is little maid. This little maid. I want you to pay attention to this little maid because I think she was great with her master and she was great to her master. She was great to her master, Almighty God. I don't think you'll see a stronger faith, barring the Lord Jesus Christ, in all the Bible, maybe even next to Abraham, but I don't think you'll see a greater faith in anybody than this little maid and what she does. We'll talk about it. Because she was great with her master, Almighty God. She was great with her master, who was Naaman, because she was a servant to him, and she was great with her master. And she said unto her mistress, Naaman's wife, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Those are the two text verses. Are you great with your master? Let's pray. Oh boy, it's 62. There's one of my resting helpers. And we put an ad in the paper. We need more wrestlers. And pray about it. We got one call already. The guy wants a coach. We put the cross and crown in there. Wrestling practice at the Y. And we put it in the other column. We got more coaches. We got wrestlers. Like I said the other day, it could be because one of those coaches isn't saved yet. Yet. And the whole program will be for that. But pray. Pray about that. God leads people to Christ and God brings in the numbers. Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you for these people here. We thank you, Lord God, for the word we heard, this message, the testimony, the ministry of Lord the Wolfgang, Lord. And Lord God, tonight we ask, Lord God, that you open our hearts. And that we check ourselves. Are we great with our master? Yes. Are we great with our parents? Are we great with our wife? Are we great with our husband? Are we great with those in the ministry, the people who see us, Lord God, every day? How are we with them? And let us grab the whole, Lord God, tonight too, the faith of this little girl. We know that, Lord God, without faith it is impossible to please you. Hebrews 11, verse 6, Lord. Oh my. I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, this little girl, I need her faith. I'm thinking that this little girl puts me to shame. Oh my. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Let's read all six verses, the first six. We'll read them again. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. That old king wanted his boy healed, the second man, his right-hand buddy, Naaman. He wanted him healed. And if he thinks it sounds good, and if he believed his little name, we better do something about it. We better send him to that king over there in Israel. And the king of, verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Naaman was a great man with his master, and he gave deliverance to all Syria, the Bible says, we just read. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Naaman was captain, second in command of all Syria. I think, in comparison, he might be the Colin Powell of today. Naaman and his boys comprised, I think, looking over it, reading, the fiercest fighting machine at that time. Not the greatest, not the biggest, but the fiercest fighting machine at that time, Naaman, I believe, commanded. And if you want to see the fiercest fighting machine in the world, then you get on your knees for our boys that are giving their life up over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Just give your lives up. My daughter sent me this over the internet. And it says, no, John Kerry, they are not stupid. Look at the patch under the U.S. flag. And the patch says, on this soldier boy, doing the work of, and the flags are from United States, France, Germany, and Russia. This should be on the front cover of Newsweek. So let's put it around the world. Get the message out. Pray for us soldier boys that are fighting for us every day.
Yes,
this
yes.
is the fiercest Amen. Fighting machine.
Amen.
Young people, look at me. Well, adults as well, too.
Yep.
You be honorable. You be honorable. You be honorable. You be honorable. And you be honest. And work on being honest. And work on being honorable. You say, preacher, what's honorable? Well, the dictionary says if you're honorable, you've got a good name. The dictionary says if you're honorable, you have a good reputation. You have an untarnished reputation. If you're honorable, you're a person of superior standing. If you're honorable, you're a person that's respectable and upright. And if you're honorable, you're characterized by integrity. And let me tell you, in America today, I think if we're short on anything, and we're short on a lot of things, one thing we're very short on is character.
Yes.
Good, strong, solid Christian character. I want to tell you something of it. This man, Naaman, I think he wasn't a Christian yet. And I'll tell you why I think he became one later on. But I think this old boy had some good, solid character. He was honorable. He was a man of valor. Dan Rather was being interviewed. He was asked, do you think Bill Clinton is an honest man? And guess what he said? Yes. And the reporter said, but Bill Clinton lied. And Dan Rather said, well, you can lie and be honest.
Okay.
What?
Excuse me.
What? You lie, you ain't honest. Wake up. Oh, my. My, oh, my. That's when the White House was turned into an outhouse. Back then. Be honest, young people, and be honorable, young people. Get a hold of some character, some good. Don't be a character as such, but have some good, solid Christian character.
Yeah.
Good standards, good morals, honest. With honesty and integrity, all integrity is moral uprightness, and we need it today in our families. As goes the family, so goes the nation. And
amen.
Oh my. Oh my. You know, I hear businessmen, I hear landlords, and they say, I don't want to deal with Christians. I don't want to rent to Christians. Oh, my. You know, I think we have a revival in America if just all the Christians would turn everything back that they borrowed.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
I think we have a revival in America if just all the pastors would turn back the books that they borrowed.
Yep.
I think we have a revival in America if just all the Christians would finally act like real Christians.
Yeah.
Naaman was honest. Naaman. And let me tell you, again, honesty is just hard to find today. Honesty is just hard to find. Naaman was a man's man. I really think he was. You know, he didn't say, go get him, man. You know what Naaman, I think, said? He said, follow me.
Yes.
And I know a man's man, the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that said the same thing. Follow me. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. Well, first is deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And he's, I think, a man's man.
Yeah.
It takes a man to die on a cross, out in that sun, give his blood, get mocked, get spit on, get punched in the face, get lacerated with a cat of nine tails, and then say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
Brother, that's character, that's love, and that's a man's man, a God man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
That's who it is. You know, the Bible says, follow me. And I like that positionally. Because if I follow him, then he's always between me and my problem. He's always between me and my trouble. Because I'm following Christ. You've heard of, and I've probably shared this story before, Sila, Paul. Old Blood and Guts Patton. I don't think he was a Christian. But I tell you what, our tank boys, the boys he commanded, they needed him. Old Blood and Guts Patton. He went up to the Rhine River, stood on the bank, under machine gun fire, jumped in the river and swam across the whole way to the other side under machine gun fire from the enemy Germans. Swam back again under enemy fire, stood on the bank and said, boys, follow me! And he dove back in again. Would you do the same for the one who said, follow me? He was fearless, old Pat. Our Savior was fearless, too. He jumped in, ministered with compassion and love. He died for all of us. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Now there's some character. He's your captain, by the way, if you're here and you're saved. The Bible says he's the captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10. And the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And my, oh my, it's time, Christian, that we follow orders.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Naaman was great with his master. I ask you, are you great with your master? Are you great with your master? Naaman was great with, you see, somebody that was around him all the time. His king saw him all the time. And it was great. The Bible says with his master, his king watched him all the time. He watched him, I think. This is conjecture on my part. A surmise, I guess. But I think the king watched him when he had his leprosy. how he acted. How I'm assuming that he didn't complain. I'm thinking that the king watched him when he was with his troops and how he handled his troops. Because the Bible says he was great with his master. Are you great with your master? Are you great with the people that see you every day?
Yep.
Like your wife, like your husband, like your kids, like the people that see you every day in ministry, at work. Are you great with your master? I think the king probably looked for bitterness. I don't think he saw it. I think the king looked at a man who couldn't even hug his wife anymore because he had leprosy. I think the king looked at a man who couldn't even hug his kids anymore because he couldn't touch them. And how he reacted. You see, the Bible says he was great with his master. Young people, look at me. Look at me. Are you great with your parents? Are you great with your parents? Honest, honorable? Because your parents see you every day. Are you great with your master? Naaman was great with his master. Because somebody saw him every day. A wife came to church at a place. She said, "Would you go home, preacher? I'll wait here at church." My husband doesn't go to church. He's unsaved. He's an 18-wheeler. He's out of town almost all the time. But I know he's home today. Would you go home and win him to Jesus Christ? Preacher gets to the door, knocks on the door, says, "I'm Pastor so-and-so. I came to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ." And the guy said, "Wow! At least you're honest. All the other guys stop by, want to lead me to Christ, and they say, just happened to be passing through." You got right to the point. You're honest. The pastor got in the house and saw dirty dishes that had been stacked up for 5 days. At least. He saw laundry that was piled around for weeks. He saw roaches crawling over everything. And the man in the house said, "If this is Christianity, I don't want it." The pastor said, "Sorry I wasted your time." And he left, went straight back to the wife, and said, "No one will win your husband to Christ until you start being a Christian."
Amen, amen, amen.
Yeah.
You see, salvation is by grace. But the name Christian is earned.
That's right.
Yes.
I'll preach it.
Come on.
They called them Christian in Antioch. You know why? Because they acted like Christ.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why. I heard of a family with 16 people in it. They were so poor, they had to wrap 2 babies in 1 diaper. I just want to see if you're awake now. That's not my story. That's my story. But they were poor. But they were not dirty. You know what that mom of that family did? It's 16 in their family, 14 kids. She used to get down on her hands and knees and clean the dirt out between the old floorboards. 7 boys in 1 room. The guy said, "Today, kids wish they had their own room." He said, back then, because he came from that family, he said, "I would have been happy just to get my own bed." But he said, "We weren't married." I'm speaking to myself too, and preaching to myself. Christ! mission. It's time you be a Christian.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yep.
If a teen says, will you go with my parents to Christ? You know, sometimes we get asked that question. Here's some questions to ask the teen before you would do that. Do you get up when you're asked in the morning? How many times do your parents have to tell you to do something? Is your room clean? Do you help with dishes, car washing, taking out the trash? Without you having your parents to harass you to get it done? Do you help mow the grass? Or do you pull the shades down so you don't see your mom mowing it? How can you go home or expect teen to get your parents born to Christ when you're not being a Christian and having some responsibility? Hey, husband. Get up and see you already reading the Bible and praying. Are you at church on time? Or do you drive them the whole way home because you missed the kickoff? And a teen might even say, oh, my. My parents say live for God. My parents say live for God. My parents say live for God. Why don't they?
Uh-oh. Come on up.
Yeah, come on now.
Bridget.
Naaman was great with his master. Because, again, somebody saw him every day. And a parent comes in and says, will you go home and win my kids to Christ? My wife or maybe my husband to Christ. Do you read your Bible at home on your own? Do you pray? Do you tithe? Do you talk back to your parents? Husbands, the last time you bought the candy and the flowers? Did your car work when you were alone? Wives, if you have it, when's the last time you got to turn around? When's the last time you told her you loved her?
Well, she knows that!
Oh my. What a lame, lousy, unloving excuse.
Nice.
Dad, do you hang up your clothes? Dad, do you respect your wife? All the time, and especially in front of the kids.
Yep.
Who are you great with? Who are you great with? Who are you great with? This sermon's for me too, because my table at home right now, the dining room table, it has an identity crisis. It thinks it's a library. And I've been hanging my clothes up a little more often, but I still need to work on it. I want to tell you this is for me, too. I need to be neater. I need to be more organized.
Pray for me!
You might say something. It would take you a while to find something, I know. Some nice things about me. I mean, you might think of something. I mean, if you thought a while. But I don't want so much to hear it from you. I want to hear it from that lady back there in the back, my wife. because she sees me every day. Are you great with your master? Are you great with the people that see you every day, day in, day out, day in, day out? You see, Naaman was great with his master. I think this little maiden story, she's awesome. She could have been a teen, nobody's sure. But I think she was great with her master, and I think she was great to her master. You know what? I'll get really on the soapbox here. I'm sick and tired of hearing people that can't live for God because of circumstances.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Brother Kenny and Sister Ruth, and I don't want to point them out.
Go ahead and use this anyway, preacher.
But I'm going to go ahead and use them anyway.
You got my permission, go
ahead.
Yeah.
If he blamed circumstances, he wouldn't be in the ministry right now.
That's right.
Nor would Reuben. Well, I can't live for God because of my circumstances. I can't come to church because I got a sniffle.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I can't come to church because it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too rainy, it's too nice.
Right.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Right. Come on now. Go ahead, preach it.
Come on.
I can't come to church because we're having people over today. Well, bring it to church!
Yeah.
Yeah,
bring
it.
I guess it all comes down to how bad you want to serve God.
I'm giving much of a choice. Yeah. Drag a bit.
If I had time, I'd write a book on all the excuses why people don't come to church.
That'd be a big book.
Oh, my volumes. I used to hear them when I taught school. I probably told this before. Teacher. So I used to teach fourth grade, then I taught a combination fifth and sixth grade program. And part of the whole phys ed, even though I wasn't qualified. But we had a blast. I had kids on the trampoline doing flips, doing all kinds of stuff. With a phys ed teacher from the senior high came up and said, I had spotters all the way around there. I took care of them anytime. When you teach phys ed, the same class, because of the departmentalized program four times a week, you better come up with some ideas. Well, anyway. These are the excuses I got when I taught fourth grade. Teacher, you know those big, great vents over, I guess they had a coal furnace or something, you know? My homework, I slipped down like before. And the other time, came in, teacher, I had my homework done, but my dog went to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Do it again!
Yep.
Do it over!
Right.
I believe this little girl, I don't know for sure, but I believe this little girl, this little maid, I don't think she ever complained. Now here's the kicker. Where was her mommy and daddy? Could have been that Naaman himself even killed them. Because she was a captive. She was a slave. I don't think she probably talked behind Mr. and Mrs. Naaman's back. I don't think so. I don't know if you've ever complained, but it's not mentioned here, at least in Scripture. This little maid. Do you know that God hears complaining? The Bible says that when the people complained, it did displease the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Numbers 11, verse 1. And he hears your gripe, so get right.
Right.
Okay, preacher, how do you know this little girl did all that? Because when she said something, I think it meant something.
Yes.
It certainly meant something to Naaman, because he believed her. He went to the king and said, this little girl, man, she told me about the prophet over in Samaria. This little girl, man, her faith, man. And then King Assyria said, hey, I'll give you enough to get you going. I'll give you all these changes of raiment. I mean, and just shook it over. He was trying to buy the healing, though. He was a little off base, too, there, a minute. You know, I think, look at verse 3 again. Do you just see that this is a capital W? Do you see it's after a comma? Do you see that this little maid said there in verse 3, chapter 5 of 2 Kings, she said, one God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. I believe it was shared with compassion and love and tears for her Lord, the one she served. She wanted to be great to her master, great to the master on earth. She was serving Naaman as a servant girl and just torn her heart out. And Nathan read that. Naaman read that. And he saw her heart. And he saw what she believed. And she saw what she stood for. And she saw her compassion. And he saw her faith. And she believed. And he believed her. This little girl. She might have said, I don't want Naaman to be a leper. I know what it is to miss the hugs of my parents. Because I'm assuming her parents were either in captivity, they could have been dead, we don't know. But here's poor Naaman, he can't hug his wife, he can't hug his kids. Oh man, if he'd get with the prophet of God in Samaria, I know he would take his leprosy from him. So the king said, go ahead, do the prophet. I ask you tonight, is your testimony believed? Is your Christianity believed? Is your testimony respected? Is your Christianity respected? This little girl had never seen a leper healed. Never. Oh, preacher, how do you know that? Ah, I knew you were going to ask. Turn to Luke 4:27. Turn to Luke 4:27. New Testament. That's after the Old Testament. Look at that. She never saw a leper healed. Never. Luke 4:27, the Bible says, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Hoseas, which is Elisha, the prophet. And look, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, how much faith does it take for her to say and believe, my God, through the prophet that's in Samaria, can heal him of his leprosy when she never, ever saw a leper healed? That's the kind of faith we need. And that's the kind of faith that puts me to shame. And I believe, just kind of believe, that's the kind of faith that might put you to shame, too. From a little man. I wonder what would happen to our ministry, to our homes, to our town, if we just believed God. If we just trusted God. If we just believed God. Oh my. Brother Lynn, catch me. What did I throw there? I'll hold up the potato. he wouldn't have caught it. We'd have had mashed potatoes. That's the story. You didn't hear it yet. Here it comes. This old boy just believed in God. And the potato story. Guess you kind of figured that. This gentleman, oh boy, I forget his name. Okay. Burdett Hamner. He's a big potato farmer. You want to get a potato, good potatoes, what's the state you used to look for, man? Idaho potatoes. Everybody heard of Idaho potatoes. But you might not know there's big potato farming on the Eastern Shore of New York and also in California. He went to a preaching service, this guy, and the preacher preached on, if you sow sparingly, ye shall reap sparingly, but if you sow abundantly, ye shall reap abundantly. He went home with his daddy, to his daddy, and he said, hey, Dad, the preacher said you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly, but if you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. Hey, Dad, and this is a big potato farmer in California. He said, Dad, I want to plant this year with all the men working for us. I want to plant five times the number of seed potatoes that we ever planted. You see, he just believed God. So when it came to harvest, guess what happened to the taters in eastern New York and Idaho? For some reason, they froze. And seed potatoes, instead of selling for $2 a bag, I don't know how long ago this was, they sold for $8 a bag. And he was the only one that had taters. I don't know what year it was either. So, he sold potatoes and sold potatoes and sold potatoes and sold potatoes. And he went to Bible school. Paid all the way through Bible school. Then he got his all kids to go to school. And he paid the whole way through all his kids to go to school. Then he started the Paradise Valley Baptist Church. And the Lord called him to minister that. He started that. And he's not taken a salary there in 30 years. Because he's still living on seed potato money. All because one man believed God.
Praise God.
I think Naaman got saved. You say, preacher, now where in the world did you get that from? This is my idea, but look at verses 17 and 18. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says that Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? What? Naaman said, I want some ground from Israel or Samaria, but God's country. I want God's country ground. I want two mule loads of it. See it there. For thy servant will henceforth neither offer burnt offering or sacrifice unto gods, but unto the Lord.
Amen.
That's where his sacrifices are going, unto the Lord. And verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, pagan god, his king was worshiping a pagan god. That's who I think he did. And he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. Now, I don't know for sure, but I'm kind of guessing he put that ground down there, and he would bow and get his knees down on the ground from God's country. I think he accepted Christ as far as he could in the Old Testament. Except for God. He saw the faith enacted. Because the question was, we You don't have time to get into it at night. To dip or not to dip, that's the question. That old boy was prideful. And finally, he dipped and he came up clean and he came up whole. Who are you great with tonight? You great with your kids? You great with your wife? You great with your mother? Are you great with your master? Do you complain something? When you say something, does it mean something? Is your testimony believed? Is it time to get right with your master? Is it time to get right with your wife, with your husband, with your kids? Kids, is it time to get right with your parents? Are you great?